This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired December 14th, 1990.
The holiday season serves as a reminder in this part of the country that deep winter weather beset with drifting snow driven by frosty winds can't be far away. Our open yearning for a white Christmas for the kids may only temporarily hide a natural dread for the rigors of New York State winters. This holiday spirit may also occasion some of us to dust off another seasonal expression of charity or concern, this one for those poor wild creatures, the birds and animals. Some of us are even moved to action, and we may set out feeder for songbirds or even for pheasants and rabbits. These offerings, though seldom actually needed, are usually welcomed by a variety of wildlife. This gives a sense of satisfaction to the donor and may very well bring great pleasure in learning as well. It can be a wondrous thing, and I heartily endorse this human therapy for a number of reasons. However, I often think this leads to unwarranted conclusions about the dependence of wildlife, which mask even more wondrous truths. The remarkable adaptations of our winter dwellers to the severe conditions which they have to face to survive. We can eliminate from our consideration those birds and animals which escape our winters by migrating or hibernating. But we shouldn't forget that some of our most striking winter residents, such as the evening grosbeak, the goshawk, and the snowy owl, are actually migrants from the far north. We tend to think that unusually large numbers of these birds in any season indicates extremely bad weather conditions in Canada. Research indicates, however, that these outbreaks are much more closely related to food supplies or extremely good breeding conditions the summer before than they are to the weather in the winter. Certainly one of the greatest problems faced by winter wildlife is the great change in vegetation and insect life from that of summer. An answer to this might be a great change in diet. This is not as simple as it might seem. Vegetarian diets require certain special modifications of teeth, bill, and digestive tracts. Many animal eaters cannot properly assimilate plant materials. Still, many animals and birds are so endowed that they can adapt their diets to the seasonal food supplies. We don't need to be told that the cottontail rabbit must change from grasses and succulent annual weeds to buds, twigs, and the young bark of shrubs and trees as winter comes. Less well known, perhaps, is the fact that pheasants eat large numbers of insects in the summer. When you see a pheasant, especially a young one, in a wheat stubble, you may find on close inspection that it is as interested in the grasshopper and beetle's present as it is in gleaning wheat. I have examined the crops of many summer roadkills and found some of them full of grasshoppers and other insects. In winter, however, fruits, grains, and other vegetable matter are the principal items of diet. The grouse is much less insectivorous, but does eat insects in summer, as well as juicy fruits and soft leaves. These are not readily available in winter, and the bird subsists mainly on seeds, dried fruits, and twigs and buds of such trees as aspen, birch, and cherry. This ability to drastically alter the diet is characteristic of most birds and animals which are winter residents here. Another problem faced by wild residents in the winter is the sub-freezing temperature which characterizes that time of the year here. If you own a dog, you have seen evidence of one accommodation which mammals make. Seasonal shedding is an annoyance to dog owners, but it is also evidence of a change in pelage or coat. Summer coats of most mammals in this latitude have relatively sparse underfur, but this is changed for a coat of dense underfur covered by a coarse overfur in winter. This winter coat provides such fine insulation that the animal can be completely comfortable with no more than normal activity. Then unseasonably warm weather may provide more discomfort for the animal than very cold conditions. Coat changing is frequently accompanied by a color change, which also represents an adaptation to winter. With some animals, these color changes are subtle, as with the deer or the red fox. Others, however, such as the weasel or the varying hare, exhibit striking changes. Both the weasel and hare change from brown in summer to white in winter. Ermine, traditionally symbol of kings, nobles, and judges, is the winter coat of the short-tailed weasel hereabouts. The ptarmigan, a grouse of the mountainous and Arctic regions, may also change from brown to white in winter. All of these mammals and birds exhibit mottled combinations in autumn and spring, when their surroundings also show patchwork combinations of snowbank and bare ground. Although biologists have cast grave doubt upon the validity of the whole concept of protective coloration, there can be little doubt about the survival value of this winter coat of white, especially where winter snows are heavy and consistent. One other winter adaptation is worthy of mention. Many northern birds and mammals develop specialized growths of hair or feathers, which we usually call snowshoes. The ruffed grouse, for instance, develops a horny, comb-like growth on the sides of its toes. These broaden the surface which touches the snow, and this broadened surface provides help for the grouse to walk when the snow is deep and soft. When we put all these adaptations together, the ability to switch diet as the food supply changes, the ability to change color with the seasons, and the endowment of special physical structures such as snowshoes, we begin to realize that these animals are well endowed both for comfort and for survival, no matter what the storms may bring. And that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.